My first word of advice to you is never, ever, ever choose to preach on peace. Because it will ensure that your week is not very peaceful on the outside. So I'm never going to preach on peace ever again. Broken car, extra meetings, overfull week, not much sleep, fighting neighbors, screaming cats. Yeah. Not preaching on peace ever again. Fortunately, though, the idea of peace is much, much deeper and much bigger than what's going on outside of us. And I'm very grateful for that. I just want to check in with you as we begin. Do you feel at peace right now with God, peace with each other, peace with yourself? Just kind of check in and see, am I feeling at peace with God, with others, with myself, with my own story? We're going to talk about peace a little bit today. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have not left us alone, that you see our hearts and that you draw us into your heart. We thank you that you have offered this gift of peace. And God, it's my prayer this morning that you would teach us a little bit more about what this peace is and how to accept your gift. Not to just strive hard to get peace, but to accept open-handed the gift that you long to give your people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, of course, in the Old Testament, we know this very rich word, peace or shalom. It means safety. It means so much more than just the absence of conflict. It means wholeness and prosperity, and I think you could even say love, primarily safety. Isaiah 26, verse 3, the scripture says that you, God, will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. You, God, will keep those people in perfect peace. In Hebrew, those thoughts that are fixed carries with it this idea that those, the person whose thoughts are leaning up against you, the person whose thoughts are propped up against you, God, you will keep that person in perfect peace. Of course, Romans talks about our peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We have been made right in God's sight by faith. Because of that, we have peace with God, because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. And that's worth pausing and saying, wow, thank you, God. The world is striving to find peace with some sort of deity or something, peace with some higher power. And the scriptures teach us that we have access to that peace through Jesus Christ. That's amazing. Peace with God. Peace with others. Interesting to note, one of my favorite verses is also from Romans. I grew up thinking that if you just did everything right, you could have peace with others. It was kind of all dependent on you, and that if you didn't have peace with someone, it was probably your fault. And I stumbled across Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all people. I just want you to hear that. As far as it depends on you, because it doesn't all depend on you, but as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So this morning we're going to talk about some things that block peace and some things that may bring peace. We're going to talk about Psalm 131. So you have your scriptures, that's where we're going to park for a little bit. Psalm 131. So I encourage you to, if you've got a Bible in your language, open it up. We'll be walking through it in a little bit. Psalm 131. Charles Spurgeon, very famous English preacher in the 1800s, said this. He said, Psalm 131 is one of the shortest psalms to read. It's only three verses. He said, it's one of the shortest psalms to read, but one of the longest to learn. I think he's right. Psalm 131 is one of the song of ascents. This is sung on the way to Jerusalem. The collection of these songs of ascent, people think that each psalm is named after a stair on the way up to the Temple Mount. This is the pilgrims would sing these songs as they're approaching during the festival days, during the feast days. So let's just read it. Psalm 131. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. A weaned child is a child who's not nursing anymore. A little bit older. More on this later, okay. So first off, what are some things that block peace? What are some things that keep us from finding peace? First thing that occurs to me is that we're just too busy for peace. A pastor in America named Brady Boyd says this: we want the blessings of being the peacemaker that Jesus talks about. We want the blessings of being the peacemaker that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, even as we choose not to live at peace. We set up our lives so that we don't live at peace, and yet we want to be peacemakers. Eugene Peterson, the man who translated The Message, longtime pastor in the U.S., speaks of a person who cultivates a quiet heart. I love the word cultivate, as it's a process. He speaks of the person who's planting, who's working with his hands, who's slowly growing and slowly developing a peace, a quiet heart. Do you do that? Are you in the process of cultivating a quiet heart? And how in the world do we do that with Facebook? That's my question. Maybe it's not yours, but I don't know, how in the world do we cultivate a quiet heart when Snapchat and Instagram and Gmail and Zoho and every other app you can imagine is dinging at your face? How do we cultivate a quiet heart? More and more, I believe that this is one of our main tasks as followers of Christ, is to figure out how to cultivate a quiet heart. Not for peace's sake, but for Christ's sake. Seems to me that often we do the opposite of cultivating a quiet heart. And if somebody seems to have too quiet of a heart, we want them to, you know, ramp it up a little bit. We want to get them a little bit more energy. They need to get a little bit busier. They need to go fast, run, save the world. We're very, very busy. It's fine if you've got a full schedule. I have a full schedule. That's fine. But how's your heart on the inside? And are you cultivating a quiet heart? Is your heart at peace, at rest with God? So one thing that blocks peace is we're just too busy for peace. The second thing that may block peace is just bad theology. Bad theology, and I see this all the time in the counseling office, bad theology impacts our life. What do I mean by bad theology blocking peace? Well, this is what I mean. You cannot have peace when you are trying to be God. You cannot have peace when you are trying to control everything. Frankly, you and I make very puny gods. We're just no good at it. Came across a verse in Job. I was speaking to some teenagers about Job. And I think he's on to something, sort of accidentally. You know the story. He suffers tremendously. He complains to God very honestly. God responds to Job very honestly. And very frankly. And Job, in effect, says, oh, you're right. You're God. I'm not. That's really good theology. And this is super simple, but we forget it all the time. Oh, you're God. I'm not. Say that with me, okay? Because I think it's maybe too simple for us. Oh, look surprised, okay? Oh, yeah. Wow. Everyone watching on Facebook is like, what's going on? It's okay if you're on Facebook right now, if you're watching this. Oh, you're God, I'm not. Let's do it one more time. Oh, you're God, I'm not. Job chapter 42, Job replies to the Lord, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. You asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? Oh my goodness. Wow. It's me. It is I. I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. Wow. In other words, Job is correcting his theology a little bit and saying, oh, that's right. You're God. I'm not. It's very hard to have peace when I'm believing that I can control things that I really cannot control. And yet we try. And we keep trying, and we keep trying to control people or to control things that we really cannot control. It's very hard to have peace when I'm believing or I'm thinking that I know things that I don't really know. All right, so the third thing that can block peace is feeling like I don't know enough. If I just knew more, if I could just figure it out, if I could just get some more details, if I could just anticipate the future, then I could have peace. If I could know everything, I could have peace. If I could answer all these questions, I would be at peace. Does that sound familiar? If I could just gain that little piece of information that I don't have right now, if I could get that, then, finally, then, I would have peace. But if you can't have peace until you know everything, you're in trouble. And it might be time for you to say, oh, that's right, you're God, and I'm not. And I love this story in John chapter 9. I'm going to read a little section to you. John chapter 9, starting in verse 17. This blind man has just been healed. Of course, the religious people are really upset about, you know, this person who can see now, which is ironic. John 9, verse 17. The Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, what's your opinion about this man who healed you? What do you think? What are your answers? Tell me. The man replied, I think he must be a prophet. Verse 18. The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man had been blind and could now see, so they called in his parents. Parent-teacher conference. And they asked the parents, is this your son? Was he born blind? If so, how can he now see? We need to know more. Give us all the answers so we can have peace. His parents replied, you know, we know that it's true. This is our son. And he was born blind. But we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Because we're scared of you, Pharisees, so we don't know any of that. Ask him. He's old enough to speak for himself. His parents said this. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders. All right. Verse 24. So, for the second time, they called in the man who had been blind, and they told him, God should get the glory for this, because we know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. And verse 25 is where we find our freedom. To not know everything. And I love this. Verse 25. The blind man who now sees says, I don't know. I don't know whether he is a sinner, the man replied. But I know this. I was blind, and now I see. You take that information, you do whatever it is you want to do with it. I don't know anything more about Jesus. I just know this. I was blind yesterday, and I can see today. And that is enough for me. And I think this is amazing, and I need to say this. And we need to be willing to say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know all the answers to all the questions. As Christians, sometimes we're very afraid of saying, I don't know. I don't know all the answers to all the questions. But this I know. Yesterday I was dead in my sins, and today I am alive in Christ, and my world has changed completely. I don't know all that, but I know this. Can you have peace in that? In saying, I don't know. I don't know that, but this I know. I was blind, and now I see. Maybe for a bit, we could stop focusing on what we don't know and figure out what it is or that we do know, I think it could change a lot. All right, so those are a couple things that block peace. What are some things that may bring peace or that may help us receive peace from God? First, I think that we need to remember more often. We need to remember truth. Primarily, we need to remember that peace is actually the normal state of things. And that in the long history of God, in the long history of creation, peace is the norm. Not war. In Eden, there was satisfaction. There was intimacy. There was not striving. There was peace in the beginning. No shame. In heaven, new heaven and a new earth, it's even better. Intimacy with each other, with God. So again, I think it would be great if we could more often remember that in the large view of things, peace is normal. We do live in between those times, of course. We live in between Eden and the new heaven and the new earth. And by the grace of God, we can taste some of that peace. Now, we can experience peace, as Jesus promised in John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus says, I am leaving you with a gift. It's a gift. It's not something you have to work for. It's not something you have to, you know, make a whole bunch of rules for. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind. Peace of heart. And the peace that I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So what else helps to bring peace? Remembering that peace is the normal state of things in the long view. And remembering again that I'm not God. Let's do it again just to wake up. Whoa! Oh! Oh! Yeah, to say here, we didn't have everybody with us here. I'll try it again. Oh! You're God. I'm... Just use hands too because I think it helps. Oh! You're God. I am not. Right, okay. So we just have to remember that. There is a God, I'm not him. There is a God, I'm not him. Tremendously freeing, really, if you think about it. Or you could tell it to other people. There is a God and you're not him, depending on the situation. Okay. So back to Psalm 131. Let's read it again. Psalm 131. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. The New American Standard says, like a weaned child rests against his mother. The Message says, like a baby content in its mother's arms. You see, the heart is not proud. I can't be proud. I can't be haughty when I'm remembering that he's God and I'm not. And there are just some things I don't know. So, I have calmed and quieted myself. Now, really interesting here that the words used are not... What I think of when I think of a baby and a mother is a very contented nursing baby. If you've ever seen a baby nurse, and then it's just very, very calm afterwards, usually not before. But afterwards, the baby is very calm and quiet. But this passage talks about a weaned child. And in Israel at that time, you know, mothers probably would have nursed their children much longer than is typical in a lot of cultures now. Now, 6 months, 7 months, a year maybe. But in many cultures still, and probably in the culture that he's writing to, babies would have been weaned, or children would have been weaned, probably when they were more like 2 or 3 years old. So the idea is actually, or the image, is not an infant snuggling with a mother. It's more of a toddler, a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, nestled up against mom. And that's a little bit of a different idea, because the weaned child, a toddler, who has quieted himself or herself with his mother, does not desperately need the mom for food. That 3 or 4-year-old is snuggling up to mom is doing it for the comfort and for the security, for the presence that comes from relationship. An infant bonds with the mother through nursing, but doesn't necessarily have a relationship. Does that make sense? The mom, of course, has a relationship with that infant, but the infant doesn't necessarily have a relationship back with the mom. But a toddler, that's different, who is resting with the mom. The idea is that we're not clinging desperately to God like an infant, needing or else we'll die. Although that's true, it is true. In this passage, the idea is more that after maturing for a while, we're able to just rest in his presence. Needs satisfied, resting in relationship, in comfort with, in this passage, with mother, the mom. To be at peace. Not for what he gives, but for who he is, which is a bit different. I encourage you to spend some time with this chapter. It's only 3 verses. And to ponder, what does it mean to calm and quiet myself like a weaned child with his mother? So what is the heart of God for you, for me, this morning? I think one thing God wants to do is to remind us that he is God and that we are not. And if you don't feel peace, or if you came in this morning and there was a lot of stuff that was not peaceful in your life, please hear his invitation to peace and to rest in his presence. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, he offers you peace in him. Peace in recognition that Jesus is the Lord, in the embrace of a Father who will never leave and who will never forsake and who is always, always loving. Trust him to save you. If you're already a believer, I want you to remember that in a world at war, a peaceful Christian is powerful. Absolutely powerful. It is life and hope. And in a world filled with anger and hatred and racism and all sorts of stuff, the peaceful Christian is a powerful ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Even in between Eden and eternity. Verse 3 of 131 says, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. And I would say, ICA, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. There is your peace, and there is your hope, and there is your salvation. I want to end today with something a little bit different, and I want to sing a song over you. And it's a song, it's just a little, tiny little song. It comes from this chapter. And I just invite you to sit. You can stand if you want, but just to sit and hear these words. And if you want to sing along, you're of course more than welcome to. After this song, I will pray and we'll be dismissed. So we're ending a little bit different. After the song, as I pray, the prayer team will come up. So if you would like to pray with someone, then they will be available for you. So let's just take a minute and sit in silence and ponder. So what does it mean to quiet ourselves before God, to receive the gift of his peace? And let's listen for what he wants to say to you this morning. Maybe even pray that before the song. Jesus, what do you want me to know about who you are? What do you want me to know about peace? So let's just have a minute of silence and then we'll play.
Father, sometimes we pray for the big, loud gifts of your Spirit, and that's good, and that's okay, and you've given us that privilege. This morning, God, I pray for the quiet gifts. I pray that you would stir up in your people peace. Not because everything's working great in life, not because all the ministries are going fine or the NGOs on a good track or the funds have come in, but peace because you are God. And we are not. And you're not just a God, you are a good God. We rest in your presence. We love your presence, God, as a toddler nestled up against a mom. We want to be with you, not just because of what your hands can give us, but because of your heart. So God, through the power of your Spirit, would you come into this place and give peace? God, would you do the work that only you can do of drawing those who have never acknowledged you as Lord? Would you draw those people to your heart? That they would see a place without striving, that they would see a place with healing because of who you are. God, would you remind us over and over and over that we don't have to know everything? There's nothing wrong with looking for knowledge, with thirsting for knowledge, but we don't have to know everything. God, would you teach us to say, I don't know. I don't know all that, but this I know. I was blind, and now I see. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your gifts. And thank you for your Spirit. We love you, and we praise your name. Amen.